Good morning.
Good morning.
It's not in the bulletin, but the children are singing, the youth of the church today. And so I'm very excited about this. And they're going to sing, "We Are the Church." I'm going to put the words up on the screen. You can feel for free to sing along with them or sing the refrain, whatever you're comfortable with. Wonderful, wonderful. A few announcements. Some are in the bulletin that you can read, so I'm not going to read all those for you. Just remind session that we meet this Wednesday at 7. The Thanksgiving dinner hosted by the deacons. There should still be a sign-up sheet at the back for that to help clean, set up, or cook side dishes. So we could have up to 100 people. There's an announcement about the women of Northmont Church are having a luncheon. It said there would be a sign-up sheet on the back, but it did not come in. And so you can call either Jean Stultz or you can call Mary Stultz. And Mary, you should have her number in your phone directories. The Angel Tree will be up next week. This year we'll be helping 7 families with a total of 19 children. So I hope that you can take an angel gift and go an angel off the tree and go buy a present. And remember, we have to sign the name of the kids on there so we don't forget who that they're for. We know who to get it to. So there'll be more announcements about it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn today is a screen song, "This Is the Day." We'll continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your love. We praise you for being involved in our lives,
Forgive our lack of faith. Forgive us for not believing your word. Increase our faith. Help us to be strong in our belief in a loving deity. Remind us to study the scriptures. Show us the importance of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Apologize, I checked over that 3 or 4 times and didn't load it to Gloria Patra or the Apostles' Creed. So if anyone needs the Apostles' Creed, it's inside the back cover of the hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, be sure to ask. Our responsive reading is Psalm 718 on 712 in your hymnals. Psalm 118, number 712. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
In my anguish I cry to the Lord, and he answers by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies.
It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Shouts of joy and victory resounded in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things.
I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation.
The stone the builders rejected has become their capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This time I invite the elder on the door to come forth with a prayer and praise request.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Arlie is asking for prayer for her husband, Doug. Doug will be having knee replacement surgery on Friday, November 20th. She asks that we please be in prayer for successful surgery, speedy recovery, and a patient caregiver. He will be in Shadyside Hospital. Mary Slover is asking for prayers for herself. Her herniated disc is acting up again. Mary also has a praise request. They have a grandson, and he was born Friday the 13th. He was 5.5 pounds, all is well, and his name is Salvatore Edward Slover. Megan Nelson, I would like to thank everyone for their prayers during this past few months. And also she has a prayer request for a friend whose mom will be getting ready to go into hospice this week. And also from Sue Gill, she has a praise request that her friend Donna. Thank you for the prayers. Donna is doing well.
Let's go to the Lord with our prayers. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day because this is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for the youth of our church and the wonderful song that they brought to us today and those leaders who help them and care about them. Let us be a church that always cares about our youth and about one another. Lord, at times our faith is weak. At times don't know which way to turn, but remind us to always turn to you, to look to you for our salvation, to look to you for our strength, to look to you for compassion, for caring, and our promise of life eternal with you. We lift up all these prayer requests to you today, all the silent ones that people have they've not mentioned, those listed in the Valley Newsletter, the Bulletin, our friends, our family, and we really lift up France and the terrible evil that took place there just a few days ago. We ask that you're with that whole nation, all of Europe, and with the United States. We pray for those people. We hurt with them. We pray for their friends, their families, their neighbors, all the stress that has been put on them. Lord, we want evil eradicated in the world. So we look to you ultimately for it. We look for Jesus to come back in power and glory and to set everything right. But until then, increase our faith. Help us in our struggles. We thank you that you gave us this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts,
as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, 408, Have Faith in God. prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your love, your glory, your power, your anointing. We thank you for the gifts that you've given to the church to help us grow, to help us use our talents that you have already given to us. Let us have the faith to do so. And even in our giving financially, yes, Lord, we thank you. And I just ask for blessings on everyone that is here today, everyone that strives to make your kingdom better, to help your church, and to help those outside of the church. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our friend, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
As they're coming down today, I need your prayers this morning to preach and get through this. I didn't get my stimulant this morning. No coffee. Boy, does it make a difference. I'm never going to let that happen again.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Claire. She said it would take her longer to get up here than it would to read. She would have hurt foot. The scripture is about faith, about increasing our faith, and about Jesus trying to get his apostles to understand that when he's gone, they needed to use their faith in the way that he has used his faith. So really, what is faith? It's a word that we throw around all the time, but what does it really mean to us? Well, when I was studying and looking at this scripture, I took one of Prince's, my dog's, balls, and I put it on a table, and I sat there and said, and tried to make that ball move. 5, 10, 15 minutes, the ball never moved. Then I realized, I'm not using faith, I'm trying to use something that we have referred to as mind control or telekinesis. It doesn't work. Telekinesis is the ability to move objects or to bend objects with your mind. And we've seen people on TV bend the spoon. Well, it's not really true. It is always just a parlor trick. By the way, though, you can go to the internet and find, and they say they will teach you how to perform telekinesis. Of course, as I said, it doesn't work, but it does work to one extent. It will remove money from your wallet and put it in their wallet. There's really a difference in mind control and faith. And where did this idea come from? That if you have enough faith, you can move mountains or you can cast a bush into the sea. It comes, of course, from the teachings of Jesus. We find it just after the strange little story of Jesus cursing the fig tree. And I always find that one of the most interesting stories. And if you've ever had a fig tree and able to take a fresh fig off, they are so delicious. They're not like what we might buy and come in the store. Matthew tells us that it was early in the morning and Jesus was on his way to the city and he was hungry. And there was no food for him, didn't have food, so seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, expecting there would be figs on it during this time of year, but it didn't have any figs. So he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." And immediately the tree withered. I always thought that was very strange. I could see him kind of angry at the tree in a bad moment. We all have those moments, and he cursed it. Maybe they come back a month later, or 2 months, or 3 months, and the fig tree is dead. But immediately, it began to wither. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did this fig tree wither so quickly? And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but you can say to the mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done." That, of course, was Jesus' way of saying that with faith, you can do very amazing things. The disciples saw Jesus do amazing things. Now he was instructing them in the things he needed them to do after he was gone, after he had ascended into heaven. This worried the disciples. How could they possibly do any of the things that he was telling them to do? Maybe he had faith to move mountains, but certainly they did not have that same faith. They were still spiritual infants. They couldn't move a rubber ball, much less a mountain. In Luke's gospel, we read that the apostles came to the master and said, "Increase our faith." It sounds to me like almost a desperate plea. "Hey, Lord, you're asking us to love people that we would normally hate. You're asking us to forgive people who have hurt us. You're asking us to feed the hungry. How can we do that when you're not with us? How can we move the mountains of faith all around us when we don't have the faith that you have?" And Jesus replied to them, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry bush or tree, 'Be uprooted and thrown in the sea,' and it will obey you." Well, what did Jesus mean by faith as small as a mustard seed? Well, the mustard seed was known for a small size, yet it grew into one of the largest bushes in the area. Now try to picture a mustard seed lying in your hand. It's very, very small. Now imagine the potential for growth. Faith is like that, a little tiny, tiny seed that you water, that you nourish, that you plant in the ground, and it begins to grow and bloom. Well, what is faith that has so much power? Faith is like a doctor telling you that if you're going to get a shot, it will not hurt. And many of you say, that's not true. But the shot's always going to hurt. Well, no, if you have faith, if you relax your arm, relax your muscles, you take that shot, most shots will not hurt you. You won't even really feel them. It's the anxiety, and it's becoming tense that causes the real pain. The faith that Jesus was describing is so much more than something like that. You cannot borrow someone's faith. I remember when I was a little boy, and of course we didn't have much money, and my mother didn't work because she was sick, and you know, four kids at home. And oftentimes she would send me across the street to Mrs. Jones and say, "Take this cup and go get a cup of sugar." And she would always give a cup of sugar, a cup of flour, whatever it was. I'd bring it back to the house. But you cannot go out and borrow someone else's faith. It has to be your faith. Now, surrounding yourself with people of faith can help you increase your faith, but it has to be your faith, your belief in God that moves forward. But really, what is faith? Is faith really an attitude? Is it the same thing as positive thinking? Attitude is very important. Our attitudes can help us deal with reality in a very effective way. By changing our attitude, we can change the level of our confidence in ourselves, which can help us steady when we're facing a very difficult or trying situation in our life. And coaches always understand that, a good coach. When a team is down by two touchdowns, we see it all the time. A coach on the sidelines can inspire his team that maybe is not as talented and knock off a high-ranked team, maybe that is undefeated. An inspired team can overcome a better team and go on to victory. Study just shown that attitudes are powerful, and attitudes can be life-changing, but they can also have a different effect when they're misguided. There's an old story, and I know I shared this. I'm recycling a few stories, wondering if people remember them, so you tell me if you remember this. About an old man who walked with a cane, and one time some of his mischievous friends snuck the cane away from him, and they sawed off a little bit of the cane. He didn't notice it. Day goes by, they do it again, until finally he says to his friends, "You know, you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but I think I'm getting taller." Well, he wasn't getting taller. His cane was simply getting shorter. His perception had been changed, but not the reality of what was going on in the situation. Jesus was talking about something much more powerful than a changed attitude, though having a changed attitude is a very important part of our authentic faith. But what is it that makes positive attitudes sustainable? Positive attitudes are a result of a confidence about our lives that comes from faith. The idea that behind this universe, behind all of creation, behind our very life, is a loving, powerful God. You know, when I lived in Myrtle Beach, and some of you will probably find this hard to believe, since I'm not a morning person, but when I lived there, I used to like to get up very early, go out on the beach. I was just three rows back. So I'd get up, walk out to the beach, sit there just in the sand, no towel, no chairs, and I would watch the sun start to come up. And it is an awe-inspiring thing to witness, because you're looking out over that horizon. There's no trees, anything to block it. Now, you can't see it very long, but you know, you can't stare at the sun, but at first it's like orange and you can look at it for just a little while, then you have to avert your eyes. Now, when I'm sitting there, and this never happened to me, but I wanted to be in the moment and enjoy the beauty of that moment. But what if someone had come up to me and sat beside me and started saying, well, you know, the sun really doesn't rise. It's all about the earth rotation and blah, 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 and all those scientific facts. At that moment, I could not care less about the scientific facts. I cared about the God behind what was going on. So my experience could have been ruined. In his book, 450 Stories for Life, Gus Anderson tells about visiting a church in a farming community in Canada. We had lived for 8 years of drought. Can you imagine that? Not raining for 8 years. 1 year might not be too bad, but 8 continuous years, and you make your living by farming and growing crops. The farmers by this time were deep in debt, and their situation looked very hopeless. In spite of their poverty, many of them continued to meet for worship and prayer, because a lot of people, when these circumstances come and the trials and tribulations, the first thing that they do is turn away from God and say, there's no God, God doesn't love me, I don't love God anymore. But that's the very moment that we need to hold on tighter to God and increase our faith. Anderson was especially impressed by one of the testimonies of one of the older farmers. The man stood up and quoted from the Old Testament. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no food. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Beautiful. That farmer had found what real faith and joy is about. And joy comes partly from having a positive attitude. Can a positive attitude be sustained through endless years of 8 years of crop failures and drought and financial troubles? I don't think so, because sooner or later you have to face the reality of the situation. But faith in a loving God is reality. If you are grounded in the knowledge that regardless of our circumstances, God has not forsaken us, God has not left us, not forgot us, then we can endure any hardship, overcome any obstacle that comes our way. And should we feel called by God to turn the world upside down, then we will begin to discover what real and powerful faith is. You know, Jesus wanted his disciples to understand that faith is a very powerful force. Disciples felt their knowledge was too weak to accomplish all the things that Jesus was asking them to do. Jesus assured them that they did have enough faith. And the Bible says that each person has been given a measure of faith. So you have it. They simply needed to exercise their faith and trust in an almighty God. What really mattered is not the size of their faith, but the size of their God. Because we still, even though we believe in God, even though we come to church and we worship, we still often, too often, put it the onus on ourselves instead of looking to God to sustain us and to help us, to revive us, to move us forward in our lives or as a church. A little faith in a great God can change your life, it can change a church, it can change the world. Faith is a matter of aligning our lives with the purposes of God in the same way that a magnet aligns itself with the north and south poles. If you want to see mountains moved or mulberry bushes thrown into the sea, align yourself with the purposes of God. That's when your faith is action. When we're asking God, well, what do you want? Then we can put our faith into full power. But if we're pulling away from God and we want something different, it's just not going to happen. Again, it has nothing to do with the size of our faith, but with the size of our God. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Jesus replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry bush, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will happen. So I ask you, I ask myself, ask us as individuals, as a church at Glenshaw Valley, how about it? Can we have a little faith in God? Can we begin to use the faith that we already have in our lives to move forward, to do something for God? If so, then I think we can get ready for miracles. Mountains, mulberry trees, even rubber balls can be moved. If we believe, if we just simply act on the amount of faith that we already have. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, 244, The Trees of the Field. Just want to remind you, I made this announcement last week, the cookie walk is coming up soon. If you can make cookies, we would very much appreciate it. We need about 500 dozen. If you make them and bring them to church, they can put them in the freezer. So hope that you'll be able to do that.
As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, this building that we call a church, but realize that we are the church. And if you know that God has given you a measure of faith, then let's go out and act on the faith that we have been given. It will grow. It will increase. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.